The chronology of the Torah is of extreme importance. When the Torah says one idea and juxtaposes it with a totally separate idea, we have to ask ourselves why. The beginning of the Parsha starts off with a pasuk that references the death of Nadav and Avihu. The Torah says, "Va'idaber Adonai al Moshe acharei Moshe shnei bnei Aaron bekarvasam lefnei Adonai ve'amusu." The Torah mentions the fact that they died coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu bekarvasam lefnei Hashem, and then it goes on to talk about the Yom Kippur Avoda. Its juxtaposition is of course tied to the fact that Aaron enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim and says, basically, just as Nadav and Avihu did it in an improper fashion, you, Aaron, can only do so through a proper way. And this, then, the Torah delineates the proper way how Aaron should do so. Even though, of course, that seems justifiable, it still seems strange to bring this up three parshios after it happens. Why not mention it, if this actually did take place, acharei Moshe shnei bnei Aharon, why not have it as the next parsha? Why juxtapose this right now with the section about Yom Kippur? When it comes to the avoda of Yom Kippur, probably the most interesting and unique of all avodos is that of the Sir LaHashem and Sir LaZazel, which is described in the parsha. The unique component and factor within it is not that it's done, it's not, which is very strange in and of itself, that we take a goat and throw it off a cliff to Azazel, but it's the fact that we take identical goats, and we literally do a lottery. It's not where one of them has a greatness over the other. They're supposed to be identical. There's supposed to be no way to discern one from the other. And yet, one of them is elevated to Sir LaHashem, a korban to Hashem. As the Torah says, V'kriv Aaron es ha-seir asher ala alav ha-gorel Hashem, that which the gorel says, where they pull out the lot that said LaHashem on it, V'asau chatas, and that becomes a korban chatas. V'asair asher ala alav ha-gorel azazel, and that which the gorel comes out to say azazel, yamad chay lefnei Hashem l'chaper alav, that should be a kapara, v'lishalach oto l'azel ha-midbar, and send it off, get it away to Azazel and throw it off the cliff. And it seems so strange that you could have one that is holy and extremely elevated to be worthy to enter the Beis HaMikdash, to be the Korban of Yom Kippur, and another to be something of a very strange status, where it's thrown off a cliff as if the sins of Bnei Israel, representing the evil of Bnei Israel, is thrown away on Yom Kippur. So why is it that Hashem chose for it to be two identical goats, to not be able to discern one from the other? Oftentimes as people, we feel when we see something or we see someone, we're able to, as people, to sum up a situation within a few seconds, to sometimes be judgmental. Not necessarily, the word judgmental doesn't always mean something bad. Sometimes you have to be judgmental. Sometimes you have to be a little cautious in a certain area. You can't necessarily always give someone the benefit of the doubt. But of course, to do that more often than not is a terrible thing. And sometimes we think we know exactly what's right and what's wrong. And we see a case, we see a person do something, we know, if we feel as if we know they're guilty or we know they're innocent. And when it comes to a based in paskening a case in Dine Mamonos, there's an interesting law, halacha. When the person comes before the based in, they say, the following person, Reuven, did the following to me. And he describes exactly what Reuven did. It says, clear as day that he is right, that Shimon is correct. So Shimon's not allowed to state his case unless, and based in can't listen to it, unless Reuven is present. And even though it might seem so clear, look at this case that Shimon's describing. Of course Reuven's guilty. Look what Reuven did to him. And then you hear Reuven's version, and it takes a totally different angle and a different twist to the story, and says, oh wait, hold on, let's wait a second. And they both parties have to be there to hear the way the other person describes the story. And oftentimes it's not necessarily as clear as one would think. I've heard of Arya Leibowitz say that it is rare, almost never is it, where a case is 100% one way and 0% the other way. And I think that's where the halacha comes from, of course, where we know that when you have the Sanhedrin, so if all members of the Sanhedrin say that a person is guilty, this is in a case not of Dine Mamonos, but in a greater case, in a capital punishment. If they all say a person's guilty, what is the halacha? The person is innocent. Why? How could every single person said this clear as day? So that maybe they must be missing something. There's no way it could really be that clear. And we have to then give the person the benefit of the doubt that maybe it's possible, certainly, that something's missed, and therefore we let them go off. Therefore, we view them as innocent, and they have an innocent verdict. I think one idea to why the Torah starts off in the Parsha from the deaths of Nadav and Avihu is because that is an example of extreme ambiguity. Even though it says, the Torah says, Vateitze eish milfnei Hashem vatocha losam. A fire came along, consumed them. Vayamatu v'nei Hashem, they died before Hashem. Why? Because the previous pasuk describes their act. Vayichu b'nei Aaron Nadav v'Avihu ish machtato. They took their pens, their coals. Vaytenu v'hen ish v'asimu laktoros, and they brought spices. They brought ktoros on it. Vayakru v'nei Hashem ish zara. They brought a foreign offering, asher lo tiva osam, which was not commanded to them. It might seem clear, however, we know there's so many mafarshim as to what actually was their sin. What's so bad about that? One pit, maybe they were drunk. Another pit, maybe they paskined in front of Moshe, and that was it. And so we see there's so much uncertainty involving what they did that I think that's why it starts off that with this parsha, with the idea also of the Azazel, to see that there's so much uncertainty here. When it comes to Nadav and Avihu, it's not even just, oh, look how bad they did. Was it this improper action or that improper action? Because the Midrash says that Moshe, how did he calm Aaron? The words of Vayidom Aaron. Amar lo achi, ze mi Sinai nemar li. Moshe says to Aaron, I saw this on Har Sinai, she'asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'kadesh esabayse. The Hashem, how he was going to be Mekadesh, the Mishkan, Uba Adam Godol ni Mekacho. It was going to be with a great person. Vayisi Omer, Obi Obecha. Moshe tells him, I thought it was going to be me or you. Habayit Hazem et Kadesh, that the house would be sanctified. V'achshav, v'nimt, v'achshav, nimtzu u'shnei banecha, gidol mimeni mimecha. But now, that I see it was with Nadav and Avihu, your sons, I see that they're greater than you and me. They're greater than them. So how could they be so terrible? What's going on here? There's so much of a thick cloud over this story that we can't judge it fairly. We can't look at it and understand what is going on. There's so much ambiguity here. And the Sir La Hashem and Sir La Zel represent exactly that. That which is totally uncertain. Where you see something, it looks one way. The Sir La Hashem and the Sir La Zel, that which represents greatness, that which comes before Hashem on Yom Kippur, and that which is thrown off a cliff represents the evil and the sins of an Israel, they look identical sometimes. And you really can't discern one from the other. We're able to be unsure of what is good and what is bad. And there's a custom during these days, during Sfiras HaOmer, to discuss a perek a week. And this week's parak Beis, so Mishnah Dalet, it says, Hillel Omer, Al tefrosh me'at tzibur, ve'al tamim ba'atmachai yomoscha. Don't deviate from the tzibur, and don't judge yourself till the day you die. Don't be certain with yourself until the day you die. And he says, ve'al tadin es chavercha ad shetagia lemkomo. Don't judge a person until you're in their place. You think, you see someone do something, and you think, oh my God, how could they do that? I would never do something like that. You don't know. Not just you don't know what you would do in their situation, but you don't even know what's going through their mind. We have no idea what a person goes through, what a person is thinking, the actions of a person, how they're viewed before our Kaddish Baruch Hu. We should never judge another person. And there are times where we're guilty of this. Just want to share one story that when I was Zocha to be in Rav Baruch Simon Shir in YU for 6 years, actually 6 years plus, I was in it for 6 full years, including Smicha, I took pretty much all my smicha classes with Rav Simon, and I started right now this time post Pesach. There's something called the post Pesach program. So post Pesach, I was in the shir, and there was a person in the shir who came in, and Rav Simon's shir was a very serious shir, still is. And people are coming from after learning seriously in Israel and wanting to be in the YP level of learning in YU, where you're learning till 3 o'clock and only then starting your college classes. And there's a person who every single day he wore jeans and a t-shirt. And the person, he had a goatee, and sometimes the t-shirts were Harley Davidson t-shirts and different types of t-shirts. The person happens to drive a motorcycle, and he really just fit the bill. And he seemed so out of place. I can never really understand what he was doing there. And of course, came from the way I judged him. The way I looked at every other person in the Beis Medrash, who was dressed in a certain way, just like the average, like a typical Ben Torah, like a Ben Yeshiva. And here's this person who I judged, who's dressed in a totally different style. And a few weeks later, I was invited somewhere for Shabbos where this person was. And I saw him come to Kabbalah Shabbos, and the person was wearing a beautiful black suit, and he had a black hat on. And it's not something, it's not either way. It's not where, oh, now he's from because he has a black hat and he wasn't from. It's not about that. It's that I judged the person and I assumed they probably acted a certain way. And I see that, you know what? You can never, ever know the way a person really is. And you can never know a person by the way they dress. And I realized that about myself, about how foolish it was to look at a person with jeans and a t-shirt with a goatee to say that, you know, this person's probably like this. He probably does this, probably does that. And to just be probably just so wrong. And the lesson of the black hat to me was just that you could just never judge the way a person's clothing is. Because it could be the same person who dresses one way during the week and the other way on Shabbos, totally, totally different way. It was like, in my mind, I thought like the Hasidic stories where they speak about the Rebbe, where when Shabbos came, the Rebbe's face was glowing and he almost looked like a different person. And there are certain times where we do judge people improperly. And we don't know to be able to just not even think or care about what's going on with other people. To not even worry about it. Why do we even judge at all? Why do we even have to think about who they are and how they act at all? And there are lessons from the Parsha about Nadav and Avihu, the allusion right in the beginning, and the Avoda of Yom Kippur, whose main Avoda is a Sir Lashem Sir Lazazela, look identical, but really we're able to glean the lessons. The fact that we don't know exactly one way or the other, and we should never, never be in a situation where you judge a person.